PPI.org.
Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into, ideas about, and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. And maybe Charlene's with me. Are you with me?
I am, I think.
Yoo-hoo! Charlene! And hopefully...
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Hopefully Sid Severson's here, too.
Hi, yes, I am.
Hi, Sid. And also... Mike, is it Minor?
It is. Hi. Oh,
excellent. All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So tonight, I just want to say, not used to being in the studio. This is my first week back from my little break, and you know, the COVID thing. Regardless of if you want to talk about it or not, it is real. And I have been doing it from home for a long time, and now I'm back again. And I'm just not used to the studio. That's all. That's all I have to say. But I appreciate you guys coming in. And thank you to Jackson for helping me get started. Thanks for Mason for setting things up. And also, I want to talk a little bit about Sydney Severson. Sydney is a development associate for Wingspan LifeWorks Resources, and Mike Miner is the president of PIA Minnesota. And Wingspan is a residential care provider for people with disabilities, and PIA is a day program for people with disabilities. And they'll be talking about a whole bunch of things tonight, such as different topics such as Made in the Shade and many other things. Mike, I'm just curious, what does PIA stand for? Or PAI?
It is PAI. Thank
you so much.
Sorry
about that.
So we have kind of an awkward answer to that question, of course. It's always the first question we get. Our original name, and still our legal name, is Phoenix Alternatives, Inc. So that would be PAI. But it's a little long, and it's a little corporate sounding, and we are not corporate at all. So we're kind of leaving that aside, and we just typically go with PAI.
So I think I said PIA. I apologize. It's PAI Minnesota. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And let's start out with you, Sid. And also, thanks, Charlene, for coming on. Charlene is my research team, everybody, and she does a lot with helping me write thank yous and get set up for the show. I also want to thank, before I get started, Daryl and Gray. Daryl thinks I do a lot on the show, but really, she kind of did this one for me, so she's amazing. I want to start with you, Sid. Can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about what Wingspan's mission is and who you serve?
Yeah, of course. So Wingspan is currently celebrating its 48th anniversary this year, which is really exciting. And we serve adults with disabilities, a huge wide range of disabilities throughout the entire Twin Cities, so a pretty large area. And we have 28 group homes. And then we also have, in addition to that, an in-home program for people who may be still living with family or living independently. And our mission is to inspire community by empowering people impacted by disabilities to live their best life.
Excellent. Thank you. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the Made in the Shade event and who the participating organizations are. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Made in the Shade is an annual event, which is also celebrating a 30th anniversary this September, which is a big one. So the event is really a collaboration between 7 partner organizations, which includes Wingspan, PAI, EGH, Homeward Bound, Partnership Resources, PAI, and then TSE. Oops, sorry. I think I said Phoenix twice.
I'm sure he won't mind the advertisement.
So it's really, it's a kind of a 5K. It's not super intense in that way, but we basically gather at Lake Bede Makaskat on the third Saturday of each September yearly. And there is food, there is music, there is a lot of socializing. People from all of our organizations, both the clients that all the organizations serve, their families, and then also donors for all of our organizations come together just to kind of enjoy some fun and food and see each other. And also a lot of people like to walk the lake and some don't, but yeah, so it's really a lot of fun. And normally we've had upwards of 900 people on a really good year with great weather. But unfortunately this year, like last year, we have made the difficult decision not to gather in person, just because, like you said, COVID is a real thing, and the safety of everyone who our organizations touch is of the utmost importance.
Right.
And we didn't want to risk at all anyone getting sick.
You know, it is a great event usually. Charlene and I have been there to promote KFAI a couple times, and there's usually a lot of people there. So how will you do things differently this year?
Yeah, so normally, like I said, we'd be at the lake, which is a ton of fun. So instead, this year, we're still going to distribute all the t-shirts, which are a high point for a lot of people. So we're distributing t-shirts. We're still going to do, instead, we have a lot of great vendors who normally donate food and refreshments and stuff for the event, so we can provide a lunch on site. In lieu of that, we are going to still put together kind of some goodie bags and still distribute the fun t-shirts to all of our group homes throughout the Twin Cities, all 28 of them. And then most of the houses are going to do something on their own, whether that be some of them may go to like a local park or just walk around their neighborhoods. Some of them may have like a barbecue at their backyard with, you know, their home and maybe some family members or something. So we're still trying to encourage the homes to signify the day in some way, just to still have a little bit of fun, even though it's not going to be quite the same. But our staff are amazing and so creative, and they always go above and beyond to make something fun for the clients.
Right.
So I have tons of faith that fun will still be had on Saturday.
So how are funds generally raised, and how can people contribute?
So funds are raised in a lot of different ways, and although the in-person event is canceled, the fundraising has to go on because the needs are not canceled.
Right, right.
So each organization kind of reaches out to their web of supporters and donors, and donors can mail checks, they can call us and donate by phone, they can also donate through our website, and I think those ways of donating apply to all the organizations. And then kind of the beauty of working together so collaboratively on this event is that all of these organizations can split the costs that we accrue in putting it together, such as like the park permit, the tents, tables, chairs, and things like that. And we will all continue to use social media and our newsletters to promote the event and recognize all the great sponsors that we have.
And so give us an idea of what the donations are used for.
That's a great question. Each organization determines their own needs. And for Wingspan, since we have 28 houses, and some of the needs, you know, span across all the homes, but a lot of the homes have unique things that they may need on any given year.
Uh-huh.
So kind of what we do is reach out to each of the homes at the end of the summer and ask them to identify some areas of greatest need. So that could be like an appliance, a dishwasher, a refrigerator. That could be a new handicap accessible vehicle because our fleet is ever aging.
Yeah.
It could be wheelchair friendly flooring, a ramp in our home, just things to increase accessibility within their homes in general. And then also just remodels of bathrooms or kitchens, driveway resurfacing, and then, or things that are just kind of major wants for each house. For example, one home this year is raising money for for exercise equipment for their house, so they can have stuff there. But we also raise funds for the enrichment programs we run, such as our Glee Club, our Spoken Word and Poetry Club, mm-hmm. our Art Club, and our French Club, which Carolyn has a huge hand in
French
running
Club.
All of
the world. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is a ton of fun and super cool. So yeah, the funds go in a million different directions, but those are some examples.
I took French for 2 years in high school. I need to come for a refresher.
Yeah. No, sure.
Oh, trust me. I bet the kids will know more than me. The people would know more than me. Mike, I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about PAI's mission and services and what you are raising funds for this year?
Sure can, Sam. Thank you. PAI is a day program, so we're a day services provider serving many mm-hmm. of the same folks and types of folks that SID's organization serves. We have a focus on people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. We serve about, pre-COVID, we were serving about 260 people from throughout the metro and northeast metro area. And we work from four program sites. Three are in White Bear Lake and one is in Oakdale. And we are just ahead of Made in the Shade, having just celebrated our 30th anniversary.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you. Many more to come, we hope. Good things. Our mission, as we say it is to engage individuals in meaningful participation in and connection with the community. And that's a big, broad scope. There's a lot that gets packed into there. And some of the ways we do it thematically are by building personal connections, expanding people's connections with the community, and of course, within that, engaging employment connections. So our services really hover around some of those themes and some of those points of mission. One way to think about our services is that they might fall into one of three main categories: life development and life enrichment, broad categories in different versions of learning, and then the employment category. And they interplay. We help people learn about the world at work. We help people prepare for and learn about or learn skills that they need to find a job, to sustain and persist in a job. And then we help people live a bigger and better life based on their terms, their goals, and their hopes. So what's important to them? What is the next thing that they want to be able to do? And whether we're giving them or helping them get access to that thing, that experience, or that piece of learning, or we're helping them kind of build that learning ramp and bridge to that next experience that they're looking for, that next achievement, we're right there with them designing programming, bringing in content, and bringing in supporting experiences to get them there.
We need to go ahead.
Oh, no, please.
Okay, we need to take a short station break, and we'll be right back.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Metro Transit. Metro Transit now offers use of an app that connects blind and low-vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance during transit trips. More information at metrotransit.org/AIRA.
And you're tuned to Disability and Progress, and my name is Sam. Mike, I want to switch gears a little bit. I know that you guys have had a hiring crisis too, and I'm wondering, Well, there was some legislative updates, right? So can you give us some of those?
Sure, and it really touches back on the labor market and where wages are. So it's a perfectly timed and a perfect fit. It's a great question. Thank you. I'm not a legislative expert, but the two main things, I'll talk to one big thing that came out of the Minnesota legislative session the governor signed in the 2021 session, and then comment on what a lot of people know is maybe happening in D.C., but we don't know what that might mean, even if it goes through. So state level first, in the final moments of the extra special session.
always a special session.
Oh, it's very special. Every session is special. And this one was pretty special too. So the legislature looked at some incoming incremental funding for providers. That's really a required inflationary adjustment. So it's almost like a cost of living, but it's to help our reimbursement rates keep up with inflation. That was scheduled to go into effect for all providers July 1st of next year. The legislature got their hands on that and said, you know what, we can move that up to go into effect or start going into effect January 1 of the coming year. So just a few months from now.
Cool.
And what we're going to do from January 1 for 27 months, so 2 years and a quarter, we're going to require that providers spend 80% of that increase on wages and other staff expenses. So they're really targeting hard and trying to put some real dollars behind our ability to compensate people better, incentivize them better. And we can use those funds for a pretty wide array of expenses, certainly wages, many benefits related expenses, including retirement benefits and others. We can pay bonuses.
Yes, I was going to ask that.
One of the things I try to remind people in these conversations is that I am not included in that extra compensation.
That's just
wrong. No. I mean that in the best way possible. This is really targeting the direct service workforce and the people who work directly with the folks we serve. So I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm being a little tongue in cheek, but it's actually literally true. We're just excited about that thoughtful approach on the legislature's part. Now, I will make a couple of comments. Nobody knows better than a legislature that you can't please all the people all the time.
This is very true.
The reality is that, especially in the metro area, providers like PAI, if you gave us that exact same amount of money at the exact same time and didn't have that 80% requirement going to compensation and related employee expenses, we'd probably end up spending about 80% on those exact same expenses anyway, because we need to. I will tell you, I know of providers in other parts of the state who are not in that situation. Their local employment or labor market isn't as competitive. They maybe don't have other, especially big, high-paying employers. They don't have minimum wage mandates, et cetera, et cetera. So they're able to attract and retain people just fine. They're fully staffed today. Now, that might be the exception overall, but I know of multiple providers in that situation. And some of those providers would look at this requirement and say, you know, I'd really rather spend that money, and I can drive more value to our program participants, the people who are supposed to benefit from it, if I invest in the next program enhancement, the next new program, facility improvements, new and better vehicles for better, more reliable transportation, any number of categories you can imagine that they might want to spend it on. Now, don't hear me complaining. We are all happy for the additional funding. We're happy that it's going to start flowing sooner. And we appreciate the legislature and the governor's action in this area. The other one that I mentioned is the federal, and you know about the $3.5 trillion sketch on a post-it note, floating around D.C. and they're trying to convert that or get towards converting that to more specific legislative language. There are any number of proposals and potential provisions. All of this is proposed, discussed, and talked about. But some of that is as I understand it, specifically targeting personal care attendants and other direct service professionals in terms of supporting their compensation and related costs. So there, there might be, knock on wood, there might be another another wave of additional funding to get at this labor shortage and really the labor crisis that so many of us are experiencing.
Yes. Well, and I'm aware that, you know, you said so yourself, you, your day program has a staff shortage. So I presume you're looking to hire people. And do you have the funds to hire people now?
You know, it's a great question. I heard Sydney say that they're offering things like $1,500 sign-on bonuses. We don't think of ourselves as competing with one another for staff or for anything else. Mm-hmm. But I could tell you that we have a comparable sign-on bonus. And when we launched that, or every time we've increased it, I can't tell you that it's made a difference. So the money matters, but we just haven't gotten to that threshold where people are ready to either move from their existing job or whatever it is their situation has them in today. So yeah, we need more support. We absolutely need to put, frankly, more money on the table to get more people's attention and get them in and get them helping the people that we serve.
Sid, does Wingspan have offer for volunteer opportunities as well?
Yes, we do. Throughout the last, I guess, not even just a year, I got so in the habit of saying the last year, but it's been longer than that.
It sure has.
But yeah, so throughout the pandemic, we put everything on hold for a period of time because most of our volunteering was in person and we were not allowing any unnecessary contact with clients. And we're still not allowing any volunteers into homes. That said, one of our biggest needs even before the pandemic was help with yard work in the spring and in the fall, because there's 28 houses and anyone who has a yard knows that there's
yes.
weeds, lawn mowing, and there's weeding, all of these things that are never ending.
Yes.
And given the staffing shortage, our staff at the homes, they just don't have time to be devoting to landscaping and keeping the yards manicured because they're busy doing more important jobs inside the homes and taking care of the clients. So it's a huge, huge help when we can have groups of volunteers come to the homes and help with leave raking, all types of yard work. And so we are still doing that. We had a few groups throughout the summer come and help out a little bit. And with the fall quickly approaching, we will really be looking for some groups to come and help out at some of our homes. It's really good for, corporate groups. We try to keep the groups pretty small just to keep COVID in mind, which,
right.
But schools, we've had some students come, churches. So it's really a great group activity. It can be outside and we provide drinks and snacks. And so we are very much looking to have some volunteer groups come this fall to help with some of the yards get cleaned up and ready for winter. We did have a few throughout the year, a few virtual volunteers come on, which was really fun. We had one student from Minnetonka High School do a presentation about unlikely animal friendships for the clients,
which was
a ton of
cool.
And then we had two other students from Minnetonka High School do play music. So one of them played the guitar and one of them played the keyboard for us, which was also really fun. So we tried to be creative, but primarily the yard work is what we need the most help with. So yes, and I am the contact person for our volunteers, so I would love to get some emails.
Why don't you give your contact info?
Yeah, my email is S. Severson, so S and then SEVERSON at wingspanlife.org. And we would love to work with some local volunteer groups this fall. So,
and Mike, how about you? Is there volunteer opportunities at PAI?
Lots of them, Sam. Thanks for asking. PAI has a wide range of ongoing one-time or project-based volunteer opportunities. If I may, let me also mention first that we're always looking for employers to hire our participants, either working independently for and on site with the employer or supported by a PAI staff member at the employer's location. as well as employer partners for whom our folks can do work in our program locations. Mm-hmm. And that can range from packaging to light assembly to sorting and many other task types. Really a rewarding experience and a high value relationship for a lot of employer partners around the community. Otherwise, a few examples, not unlike some of the things that Sid mentioned, but we've got animal therapy teams and certified animal therapy volunteer teams. And we're always looking for more of those. Those are a big hit every day. People can come in and lead or support arts or other creative experiences. People can bring in really any a wide range of, we'd want to talk to them beforehand and make sure that it's in with the program and the people, but a really wide range of educational activities or experiential learning options. I also should mention for your listeners, we also have openings on our board of directors for professionals with backgrounds in areas including things like human resources, even fundraising, accounting, finance, other professional backgrounds. We're especially eager to welcome people on our board from diverse backgrounds and from the corporate sector. So just a little plug for that recruiting effort as well.
And in some of the time we have left, Mike, I'm wondering, is there anything else that you would like to share as we continue on facing the pandemic?
Well, gosh, the first thing I have to say is thank you to you, Sam, and Charlene, and your team for having us today. It's just been a delight. This has been a lot of fun. And Sydney, thanks for being my counterpart here. Just really, really great to be with all of you. I would just remind folks, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think of the providers like PAI and like Wingspan, but especially the people we serve as being a relatively, not always absolutely, but a relatively quiet presence in our world. And during the pandemic, they've been even quieter and maybe a little harder to see. So I'm always encouraging people to remember that we're here, they're here, and to keep us in your thoughts, your hearts, and your mind. And same was said, you know, connect with us. Help us connect you with the people that we serve and make a real difference in some great people's lives. So the pandemic has made that more of a challenge, but hopefully people are hearing that we're meeting that challenge head on. We're loving what we do, and there's so many more good things to come.
I'm curious to know, does your staff, have you implemented either a mask mandate or a vaccination mandate?
I'm sorry, was that for me or Sid? I didn't want to
both of interrupt. You, actually.
I'll go Sid, bro. I'll be quick. We haven't implemented a vaccine mandate. We talk about it almost every day. We're actually hopeful. I'm personally hopeful that a federal or state authority will require all providers to implement, or they will implement, a vaccine requirement on our behalf. So we don't get agencies having to implement and then they lose staff as a result. Mm-hmm. And we end up just moving deck chairs around in the middle of a staffing crisis that we're already trying to deal with. And we do have, we've had some version of a mask mandate throughout COVID. And as of a few weeks ago, with the rumblings and the early indicators of what's coming with the Delta variant, we've expanded that to higher order mask types and covering more people with additional requirements.
But I wonder if you guys, both of you, I'm sure are aware that you may be forced to make that decision. We have so much crazy political, this has been so politicized. It should never have been politicized. It should have always been for the health and safety of everyone. But it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were forced to force your hand. Sid, how about you?
Yeah. So at the moment, we don't have a vaccine mandate in place. I'm not sure where talks are at within Wingspan on that. So I don't want to make any assumptions. I'm just not to what the conversations around that look like. But I think that likely Wingspan would echo a lot of what Mike said. And right now, we have had a mask mandate throughout the entirety of the pandemic. I think it was lifted at our office, at least very briefly, and sometime in the summer when things were looking really promising, and that quickly came back. So yes, we all wear masks when we're outside of our offices or anytime we're interacting with others. And then in the homes, I believe it's really dependent on the vaccination status of the clients and then the staff. So anyone who's unvaccinated is required to wear a mask, any staff that's unvaccinated. I think that almost all of our clients are vaccinated. We were really lucky to have early access to the vaccine at the very beginning of the year. We have a whole bunch of clinics, of vaccination clinics at a bunch of the different homes, many at our office as well. So that was a huge privilege that we're so grateful for, to have had access to get our people vaccinated, because it's our best line of defense. And we serve a lot of people who are very vulnerable, and we want them safe. So I'm sure that there will be a lot more information coming, like Mike said, if there's going to be a state mandate for people working with disabled folks. So we are, I'm sure, looking down the pipe to see how we can best prepare to implement that at our organization.
Are there any last things you'd like to leave us with, Sydney?
I think I would just love to say thank you so much for offering us this opportunity to speak with you and connect with our community and kind of amplify what's going on with all of these different great organizations. I know there's many of our committee members who aren't on with us tonight who really just wanted to say thank you as well. We're just so glad to be able to promote our event that we worked so hard on throughout the year, and we're so to not have in person. But like we said, I mean, the number one thing I think everyone would want to get across is that we will take no chances with the safety of our clients and their health. And so we will just be crossing our fingers for a more hopeful outlook when it rolls around next year. But until then, we're just staying resilient and positive and doing the best we can with the cards we are dealt.
And that is very commendable. Could you each give your contact info in case people are interested in volunteering?
Do you want to go ahead, Mike?
Sure, sure. People can reach me via email at mminer, so it's mminer at paimn for Minnesota.org, or our website at paimn.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, and I can be reached at my email, which is sseberson, so there's two S's, and then at wingspanlife.org. That's the best way to reach me. You can also reach me by phone at 651-888-3116. And then you can also connect with us on our website, which is just wingspanlife.org. So anyone you get in touch with at our organization can pass you on to the right person. We would love to have you.
Well, thank you both for coming on. I really appreciate it. And good luck with everything in the future. And I think sometimes what I, you know, when I really deeply think about this and what people maybe don't realize is, you know, just the average person has much more ability to reach out and occupy themselves if things close down or do other things. But that is harder sometimes for people with disabilities or the elderly. That can be a lot harder. So I really would like to take this moment to, you know, to challenge people to get their vaccines. That's really the only way this is going to stop. And wear a mask and keep people safe. It's not just for you, it's for everyone else. So there's my preaching pulpit here. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Darylyn, for giving me this fantastic help with this program. And thanks, Charlene, as always. Thank you, guys. This has been Disability in Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Charlene Dahl is my research team. We've been speaking with Sydney Severson and Mike Miner. Sydney was the development associate of Wingspan Life Resources. And Mike was the president, or is the president, of PAI Minnesota. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. I'd also like to remind you that if you'd like to be on my email list, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. That's disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Also, check out our podcasts. We do have many now that are up. And thanks to Aaron for assisting us with that. Lots of different topics. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
KPI.org.